Debbie Marcoux, the Mortgage Mom. Are you a veteran and you don't own a home? Or are you a veteran and you do? Did you know that you have special VA financing that is available to you? I can tell you, bar none, that it is the best financing available. If you have a VA loan right now and you've got some debt, it's a great time for us to take a look and see if we could pull out some money to pay those debts off. The VA will let you go up to 100% in your financing. If you don't own a home today, VA is going to let you go to 100% in your financing. Zero down payment. Give me a call. Let's talk, you and me. 844-935-3634 or go to the website mortgagemomradio.com and click on Contact Us.
Debbie Marcoux is licensed by the Department of Business Oversight under the California Residential Mortgage Lending Act, NMLS ID 237926. Also licensed in Arizona 0941504, Georgia 69178, Illinois 031.0058339, Nevada 57237, Oregon, Tennessee 184373, Texas, Washington MLO 237926, Heidi Slagle Points, California DBO 1666881.
She's the Mortgage Mom. She can get things done when you're in need and don't know where to go. Pick up the phone and call Mom.
All right, well, welcome to Mortgage Mom Radio. I'm Debbie Marcoux, and as always, I've got Heidi with me.
Hello.
And what do we do? Well, we are Mortgage Mom Radio, so we are bringing you guys everything that we can every week. What is new? What is changing around mortgage lending, mortgage guidelines, real estate advice? That is our show. That is what it's all about. And we want to make sure that we are educating you to make the best possible decisions for you and your family. So we always take the beginning of the show and we do, you know, catching up with Mom. And, you know, Heidi's been a busy little bee. She's getting ready to move to Arizona, and you're closing on your house tomorrow.
Yes.
Yes. Are you ready? You're prepared?
I'm ready.
Yeah?
I'm ready. I'm excited. I'm ready. I honestly just want the move to be over so that I have my house settled, done. You know, I just want to snap my fingers and have it finalized.
Yeah. And then there's the move from California to Arizona.
Yes.
Yes. You know, thinking about that, though, I mean, we've had a lot of people that have moved from California, Arizona. That seems to be the place where people are going. We've just done a ton of loans in Arizona. Mm-hmm. A lot of people trying to, you know, relocate. Thank you. I was losing it. I was spacing. Hey, you guys are watching us. This is live. This is real stuff. So, you know, I was just, you know, it's pretty amazing how that's going on right now.
Yeah. You know, honestly, I think born and raised in California, right? So I've never lived anywhere but here. So that's a little terrifying for me.
Yeah.
I'm just going to go for it. But the cost of living is less.
It's quite a bit less.
And you can get amazing houses, amazing property for, you know, significantly less price.
Yeah.
And you get relatively the same weather. I mean,
it depends. It totally depends on where you live in California, whether it's the same, because correct. It is pretty hot in Arizona.
It is really hot in Arizona. But it's a lot drier in Arizona. And, you know, growing up here, I never realized how humid it was. You know, you go places that are really humid and you think, oh, wow, it's not humid in California at all. And then you go to Arizona and you realize, wow, it's really humid in Southern California.
Yeah, it's not really. I'm from Illinois and that is some humidity, I'll tell you.
Right. And that's, you know, like I went to Florida and I was like, oh, my gosh, it's so humid. I could never live here. In New Orleans but once you go to Arizona and you think, last time we were out there for 4th of July, it was 114.
Oof.
And my husband and I were outside walking around doing some like outdoor shopping. And my husband is a gingy. So as he would say, the sun is not his friend.
Gingy.
And here, if it was 100, he would not be outside.
Right.
I mean, there would be no hope in getting him to go outside. And it was 114. We're outside shopping. And he was fine.
Yeah, I can't. I don't know. So, it's pretty darn hot for me. If I'm not on a lake, if I'm not on the water, I'm not on the river. That is it. It is hot. But everybody has a different threshold. You know, I don't know how people that live in Florida do it. We were there 1 year in July. We went to Disney World. We're in Orlando, so you're not near the beach. You're not near the water. Mm-hmm. And oh man, was it miserable. And I'm from Illinois, so I mean they get some massive humidity there, and even that is hot. But I can handle it. But Florida was just. Drop me dead. It was so hot. I mean, just beyond hot. You couldn't drink enough water. You couldn't shower and feel dry. There was nothing about it that was fantastic. Yeah. And, you know, that's what holds me back. Arizona for me is just so hot. I just don't think I could make that move. But I really want to stay on the West. And I've got this major debate going with my husband because I love California. I've lived here forever, just like you. And, you know, I don't want to leave. I mean, it is great, but it is really expensive. And we've thought about where are we going to go once we, you know, want to retire? Where do we want to live? And I've been looking at a lot of property. What can I buy? And, you know, where can I buy it at? And where's going to be a good place for retirement? What's a good, great place to be for your taxes for a business, mm-hmm. right? You know, would it be a little less expensive to run my business from somewhere else? And we just cannot come to an agreement. He's like, let's go to Washington. I'm like, it's freezing in the winter. Right. It rains too much. It's, you know, it's going to be gloomy. And then, you know, I'm like, let's go to Tennessee. And he's like, that's just going to be too humid, babe. I can't do it. You know, and he's like, let's go to Montana. I'm like, it's freezing. My cousin was in, we talked to her 2 weeks ago. We did a Zoom wedding shower for her and she is in Montana. And we said, how's the weather there today? And she said, it's 42 and raining.
Oh, yeah, no.
I need my summer, man. I can't do it. So, you know, that is the thing right. that draws people to California is that even though you're saying, you know, you don't realize how humid that it is, once you've been to Arizona and you've felt their weather, it is really beautiful in comparison to other areas and other places.
Right. And I love California weather. So getting the idea to move was really hard. And as you know, we did originally think Tennessee.
Yeah.
And that I was really, really determined on Tennessee. But once we considered it, it was a little too far to go now.
Yeah.
Right?
It is far. And that's the other thing, too, is that I think about all my family's here in California. Yep. I do have my dad in Illinois, and I've got an uncle in Illinois. But I've got family here in California, family in Arizona, and most of us are all West Coast. And so same thing for me is I'm thinking, you know, maybe I'll go somewhere else. And, you know, you start thinking about how far away that you really are and how often are you really going to see your family and how often can you really get together for those holidays. And, you know, it's a big decision. So I give you tons of props for making the move and giving it a whirl. And obviously California's always here and waiting for you and you're not leaving me. I mean, I still have you.
I'm not leaving, you know, I'm not leaving too far. And, you know, we've got our kids here, our older kids and our grandson and all our parents and everything and my sisters. So Arizona was the best choice for us because it's a 6-hour drive.
Yeah. Yeah, definitely.
We can get home. We can jump in the car if we need to and be home in 6 hours.
So does that mean that I can expect to have Heidi drive 6 hours once a week for Mortgage Mom Radio?
No.
So Matt, you'd better get that Zoom going because she's going to be Zooming in 2 weeks and it's going to be Zooming forever. So yes. from here moving forward. All right. Well, we're Mortgage Mom Radio. And what do? Well, we want you guys to ask us your questions. We're here to help you. We're here to answer them. Anything at all about mortgage or real estate. I was a real estate agent at one point in time. I am not licensed now, but I've been in the business between real estate and mortgage for 27 years. And I hate that I'm dating myself that way, but I purposely on our YouTube Wednesdays live at 5, I do not put on anything. The hair is pulled back in a bun. This is me. This is what I look like. But it is, you know, 27 years of experience. And so we're here to help you, walk you through it, answer the questions, make sure that we're getting you in the right place. And we want you guys to tell us that you're watching. We want you to say hi. We were not on last week. I was camping. Having a good time.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And, real quick, I think Matt had a question before.
Okay. Just a couple comments on YouTube. Erica says hello and says air conditioning helps.
Yes.
And Nancy says hi, moms.
All right. Well, hi, Nance. Hi, Erica. And yes, Erica is down in Florida, and I don't know how you guys do it, man. Seriously, it is hot, hot, hot. Yes. Yeah.
And then over on Facebook, Shelly asks, hey, Debbie, can you talk about the benefits of buying a duplex, tri, or quad?
Sure. That's great. I love that. And so that is what we want you guys to do. And if you are, you know, listening to us on Saturday morning, you're listening to a show that we're recording on Wednesdays. So we're live at 5 on Wednesdays. We're on Facebook, YouTube, and Twitch. And you guys can watch us do this live and get those questions in there and ask us those questions. So we absolutely love that. And we want you guys to be watching us while we're doing it live. So Shelley, duplex, 3-unit, 4-unit, what are the benefits? So couple of the benefits obviously are is that you can live in one of the units and the other 2, 3 or, you know, fourth unit can be a rental. And with residential financing, we can finance up to 4 units. We cannot do more than that. When you go over 4 units, you are looking at a commercial property. You are not looking at, you know, residential. With a 2 to 4 unit, again, you get the rental income from the other units, which will help offset the debt of the mortgage to help you qualify for a little bit more. FHA financing is available on those when it is going to be your owner-occupied residence. So you can actually get into that 2 to 4 unit with 3.5% down. So that is the benefit, really, of those properties. You know, it's really nice if you can live in one and subsidize part of your mortgage by the rents that you could bring in with the other units. And, you know, a lot of times those properties are difficult to find. They don't come on the market very often. They're definitely a hot commodity. And it's a great place to start. I mean, if you can own the place and it's 2 to 4 units, you're not living in a big, you know, condominium complex, and you can get your payment to be about the same by getting those rents, you've got a really great investment for the future. You could always move out of the one unit you're living in and then rent that unit out. And now you've got yourself a really nice income producing property that will carry you through long term. And once you buy one and you own one, I would tell you, don't ever let it go. Seriously.
Absolutely not. Those multiple unit properties, right? Duplex, triplex, quadplex, right?
Yep.
Are fantastic. They are wonderful investments to have. And it's also, a lot of people buy them for having additional family there as well for down the line. But they are fantastic investments. They can help you in the future as your retirement income.
Absolutely. No, and that's what I'm saying. Once you actually get one, just hold on to it. They really are, they're difficult to find. They hold their value well. Even when property values drop, rents typically stay the same, if not sometimes get even higher, because there's more people out of homes, more renters looking for rents, and a lot of times rental income will actually increase. So those properties are fantastic. Typically with a 2-unit property, if you were buying it with a conventional loan, you didn't want to pay mortgage insurance, you didn't want that FHA loan, you can get into a 2-unit with 20% down. So that's the nice part about FHA, is having that 3.5% down option if you're going to occupy and live in it. If you are buying a 3 to 4 unit property, you do need 25% down. So, you know, they are going to be a little bit more expensive to get into, because there's a little bit more risk there. You've got properties that were giving you rental income to help you qualify to buy that more expensive, you know, overall property. And so you need to have a little bit more down payment when it comes to a conventional loan. But they're great properties. And if you can get into one, again, they're kind of hard to find. But when you can get one, it's like a diamond in the rough. I mean, it really is a great investment.
Absolutely.
So thank you, Shelley. Thank you so much for the question. We love that. And we want you guys to keep them coming. We want to hear from you. We want you to ask us. Pop in there. If you guys are watching us on Saturday morning, tune in. Go to Mortgage Mom Radio on YouTube. Like our page. Subscribe to our channel. If you guys prefer Facebook, you can watch us there. If you guys like Twitch, if you guys are gamers, you got to buy a house too. So check us out. Everywhere you want to find us, it's Mortgage Mom Radio. A couple weeks ago, so we weren't on last week because I was saying that I was camping.
Right.
And we were going to try to do a show. And then we went out on the, you know, I worked every day I was there. It was kind of my first working camping trip, right?
Right.
So I worked until about 2 o'clock every day. And then we went out on the boat and then, you know, came back 4 or 5 o'clock. And then I would do a little bit more work and then settle down. And so last Wednesday, we were supposed to do our show. I worked until about 1, and we went out on the boat, and I needed to be back by 4 so I could shower up, not look like a, you know, boat hair, and, you know, get on, and we were going to Zoom and we were going to do a show. And Mikey decided to fall on the wakeboard right on his face and literally cut his forehead. And so I was doing triage while I should have been showering. And then I had to call you and say, yeah, we're not doing it. And I had to call Matt and say, yeah, you better rerun another show for next week. This isn't going to work. But it was a good experience. I mean, I had to hook up to the Wi-Fi at the park and get the computers out and get the computers running. And it was a great, you know, it was fun, though. It was good. It was great. It was nice to get out, but still be able to work. And
it worked out well. Yeah. Right. You got a little more family time, which is great. And Zeke looked like he had a blast.
He did.
So it was a great, you know, kind of balance between the work and the family life.
Yeah. No, it was good. Yeah. It was a good trip. It was a good quick trip. We did 4 days and, you know, it was needed. It was restful, but I worked and, you know, it was good. But yeah, we didn't have a show last week. It was not technical difficulties. It was Mikey difficulties, 15-year-old on a wakeboard. You know, it was so funny. Everybody's like, do you think he needs stitches? I'm like, nah, we're just going to butterfly that thing. Pull out the butterfly band-aids. I got the, you know, hydrogen peroxide going on it. And he was absolutely fine. And it's healing up great. And he looks good. But yeah, it was actually quite funny. So, that is the goal. So, you know, next week you'll be here for the show. And then the week after that will be, you're going to be in Arizona and I'm going to be here in California. And we're going to be zooming the show, doing it that way.
Well, we hope. I'll be moving that week. So
true.
I don't know.
I might have to actually do a show all by myself. Yes. I've done them before. So don't worry. Don't fret. Mortgage Mom Radio will be here.
I might just be on my phone walking around trying to find signal.
Right, exactly. But you know, I'll tell you that August the 3rd will be the first time I will be back in the motorhome again. And this is going to be interesting. So we have a house, I've said this before on the show, but the house was built in 1983, maybe 81, somewhere in there. It's, you know, 40 years old or 30 years old or whatever that number is at this point. I don't even know. I saw an actual meme on Facebook that made me want to cry. And it said that we are now just as far away as 1980 was from the 1940s. I know, right? And I was like, oh my goodness. So anyway, so my house was built in the 80s, early 80s. And my bathrooms are still original. Finally, 2 years ago, we pulled the trigger, redid all the kitchen and the floors and everything got redone. Right. And we didn't do the bathrooms because there's only so much that you can take. I mean, I think that was a good like 6 week project. Yeah. And so we kind of like said, okay, we're done. We can't do any more right now. But now we're at the point where it's like only one of the sinks faucets work in the master bedroom. You know, guys, I'm a normal person just like you and me. There is nothing fancy or fresh about Mortgage Mom Radio. So it's just time we have to do it. And if I was looking and looking and looking and trying to find like temporary rentals to go to, and it's just really not an option. I couldn't find anything that was going to take my horse of a dog, my 150-pound Newfoundland, and, you know, my 11-year-old Cocker Spaniel that pees when she's excited. And let's just face it, peace sometimes for no reason. And, you know, I just, I'm like, I really need to find somewhere that where we can go because we can't have both bathrooms ripped up. I've got Zeke and, you know, Shane are home during the day and that little guy can't be in the middle of, you know, the workers trying to come in and out. And I can't have the dogs escaping out the front door because the worker's trying to carry something in and the front door gets left open. And so I'm like, we've got to go. We just have to go. So we are going to actually be in our motorhome for 3 weeks. And I'm going to be working, swear to God, full time, all the time. There might be maybe a little 4 day break that we might head up to Shasta. Yeah.
And after I move.
And I might go off the grid for like 4 days before the kids all get back to school. It's kind of like the last, you know, summer hurrah. Mm-hmm. But for 3 weeks, we're going to be living out of this motorhome. And there's going to be two dogs and there's going to be Zeke and there's going to be me and Manny who works with me and computers. And it's going to be really interesting. And my dad who is flying in from Illinois, he's going to be coming with us on the trip as well. So it's going to be very interesting. But we will be Zooming. So if you guys really want to see some fun stuff, definitely go to Mortgage Mom Radio on YouTube, subscribe to the channel, like it, turn on your notifications, go to Facebook, like it so that you know that, you know, follow us. And you guys can watch August 3rd is going to be the first show that I do. And it's going to be remote. So it should be very, very interesting and kind of fun. And I really might have boat hair.
And I'll be in the middle of moving.
You will
that
be.
That week.
You will be. So you're going to have moving hair and I'm going to have boat hair.
I'll be moving with my house in chaos.
Yes.
Luckily, I did hire movers to unpack me because one thing Debbie left out is my husband is staying behind.
Yes.
So I will be moving with me and my 15-year-old into this new house in a new state, in a new city, new everything. And my husband will be staying back in California to finish his project at his job. So I get to handle the whole new house by myself.
I think you can do it. I do. I have faith in you.
I don't have much of a choice at this point. So the show that week should be really interesting because hopefully I will have internet. If not, I will be walking around my house
trying to find the very best signal
on my phone.
Right. We will make it happen even if you just have to do a phone call.
Right.
Right.
It might be on my phone. Yes. You know, voice.
Yes, exactly. But we will make it happen. So it's fun. This is Mortgage Mom Radio. This is what it's all about. We're all, you know, we're working and we're bringing you the education and the advice that you need. We want you guys to watch us live Wednesdays at 5. We're live at 5. YouTube, Facebook, and Twitch. You got, make sure you guys are following. Get those questions in there. Shelley, that was a great question. We love it. Anybody else that has a question for us, please throw it in there. Put it in the feed. Matt's going to read it. He's just going to stop me when you know, he says, there's something to tell you. He's just going to butt in. But, you know, he's the guy behind the screen back there. So how do you guys get a hold of us? Well, you give us a call. It's 844-935-3634. Get yourself set up for an appointment. You are going to talk to me unless you absolutely can't wait. My appointment is booked or my calendar's booked. They are going to give you the option if you'd like to talk to somebody else. We don't want you to wait if you don't want to. But obviously, if you want to talk to me, get yourself an appointment. You will talk to me. You will work with me, and we will get you set up and going in the right direction, whether that's a refinance, whether that's a purchase, whether you're a year and a half out and you just need to know where to start and to start to game plan and get things rolling along. That's, you know, that's the first call. That's the best move to make. So it's 844-935-3634. I've had a bunch of people ask me this week about our phone app and it not being in the app store. And I know that Matt, I'm looking at him right now. That is Matt's project. He is working on it. He is learning to code. He's actually a really smart guy, like super smart guy. I love it. And he's my brother too. He must have gotten a couple of my genes. But I came first, so I can say that. but he is working on that. So in the meantime, though, we are not on the App Store. If you guys want the phone app, you can get it. All you got to do is text the word MOM to 36260. That's MOM to 36260. You will get the link to the phone app, and all you got to do is click on the link and save it to your home screen, and there you go. You've got the app. So anybody that wants it, there's all kinds of tools in there, calculators, all kinds of great stuff. A couple weeks ago, we had a guy get on and say that the website wasn't working right with the tools, and it wasn't. He was absolutely right. We love it when you guys let us know those things because I'm obviously not on my own website checking my tools while I'm working every day. You know, I just kind of assume it's all there. So every single time that, you know, WordPress does an update, it sometimes changes things and messes things up. So if you guys get to the website and something's not working right, please let us know. We'd love to fix it. So we did get a new calculator put on there that is working correctly. So if you guys want to go to the website, it's mortgagemomradio.com. So everywhere that you want to find us is Mortgage Mom Radio. No matter where you go, that's how you find us, Mortgage Mom Radio. So Matt's looking at me.
And Shelley says thank you.
Oh, you're very welcome, Shelley. We love the question. Thank you. All right. So a couple of things, hot topics that I think that we need to talk about. We've talked about it a lot since COVID started. And I think that we need to talk about it again because things are starting to happen now. So we have talked about having your mortgage on deferment. We've talked about having your mortgage on forbearance. We have told you guys if you don't have to do it, absolutely do not do it. If you can make the mortgage payment because you're down to one income instead of two, and maybe you need a little bit of relief, call those credit cards, call those car loans, do a forbearance or a deferment on those before you defer the mortgage because things can get very sticky. And we're starting to see things get a little bit sticky. So I'm going to let you kind of give a kind of overview of what you've seen, and then I'll kind of butt in and tell you what I've seen, and then I think hopefully everybody will kind of take something away from this.
Okay, so we've talked about it a lot, like Debbie said, but now we're starting to see some of the impacts of what's happening with the deferment and forbearance. So I'm going to kind of go over deferment. When you defer your payments, all you're doing is pushing your payments out. So defer it for 30 days, 60, 90. If you defer your payments for 90 days, at the end of that 90 days, that entire amount is due and payable.
Plus the fourth payment.
Right. Plus the payment that's due.
Right.
Okay. So if you couldn't afford it at 30, you know, if you couldn't afford May, June, and July, I don't know how you're going to afford all of them in August plus August.
Right. So if your payment is $2,000 a month, just an easy round figure while we're here. $2,000 a month is your payment, and you went 3 months on deferment, and the fourth month is here. You owe $8,000.
Right. So that's deferment. Forbearance means that if you have it in forbearance for 3 months, that amount of money, so again, $2,000, so your $6,000 is now going to be put at the end of your loan. Okay. However, what we're now seeing is people are going in what they think is a forbearance, and the companies are actually putting in them in deferment for 1 month, 2 months, 3 months, and telling them to call them at the end of their deferment and request a forbearance. It's not guaranteed, one. So when you cannot make that total $8,000 payment or whatever it may be based on your monthly payment, you can at that point now start being hit for all those late payments. They don't have to grant that forbearance. If they do grant that forbearance, when you are calling Debbie or I or whoever you're speaking to, any lender, and trying to get in on these amazing interest rates, we cannot start your refinance at that point. You have to have made, one, you have to no longer be in your deferment and or forbearance, and you have to have made your most recent 3 consecutive payments.
Right.
On time.
Yeah. So if you went into forbearance in or deferment, because that's what we're finding the majority of the lenders did, is put you in deferment and then said at the end of the deferment, call us and then we'll talk about forbearance, which turns into a loan modification to put all of those payments to the back of the loan. And what you have to realize is that at the point that you are applying to do that forbearance, if they grant it, that is not a fast overnight process. That is actually something that is going to take time. So while that piece is taking time, all of those payments that were deferred that are due and payable are still due and payable. So we haven't gotten to a point yet where we've actually seen anybody's deferment come off of deferment yet to know what is going to happen. But I'm going to guess that at the point that the payments that are due and you are applying for the forbearance, during that period of time, if a payment is not made and all of those back payments are not caught up, we're only going to guess that you're going to start to see late payments showing up on your mortgage. So the one thing that I would give a suggestion right now out the gates is, most people got a 3-month deferment and then they extended for an additional 3 months. So the majority of the clients that I have talked to that have called me with questions about it are in their 4th month right now of their deferment, and they're being told that they can call and apply for the forbearance at any point in time. Call now. Call now. If your deferment goes for 6 months and you've got 2 months left, call now and try to get that piece started, because maybe, hopefully, you can get that forbearance approved and that loan modification completed before that deferment is over and before all of that money is due and before anything negative shows up on a credit report. So we don't necessarily know that that is what we are going to see. We don't know that that is what is going to happen. All we can do is try to read between the lines with the information that we're receiving and try to understand what we foresee is going to happen. And that would be my crystal ball. If you are asking Mortgage Mom, what do you think is going to happen? That would be my crystal ball. The majority of people are going to ride out that deferment for the full 6 months. They're going to see that they owe, now we're talking about 2 times 7, $14,000. And they're going to call and say, I need to get this forbearance done. And they're going to have them go through an application process. Hopefully, these mortgage companies are gearing up right now and getting, not mortgage companies, honestly, they're the servicing companies, but hopefully these servicing companies are gearing up and getting prepared for all of the applications that are going to start coming in for these forbearances that will become a loan modification. But hopefully they're gearing up for that and getting ready, and they can get that done within a 30-day period, so that even though that payment is due, they can get that finished before that 30-day mark. But I just can't see how they could get to 31 days, 45 days, 60 days, and not start reporting 30-day late, 60-day late, 90-day late, you know, which is just going to kill your credit. It puts you in jeopardy of possibly losing your house. We just don't want to see you guys there. So if you did take the deferment or the forbearance, number one, call. You might think you're in forbearance and you might find out that you're not. So call your 800 number on your mortgage statement and ask, am I in forbearance? Is there anything I have to do after the forbearance is over? Ask the question. Be diligent, be prepared, and do it in advance.
And I will say what I am finding is most of the clients I talk to say, well, I'm in forbearance. When we get their credit report, they are in deferment. Then as you start opening up those lines of communication, they say, well, yeah, but they said call and then they'll put me in forbearance. So it is two different things. So please don't assume that you're in forbearance. We are seeing more and more that you're in deferment and they are two very, very different situations. So please read the documents that you're signing. Be very diligent. Read all the fine print and don't get stuck in a deferment that all of a sudden at the end of that 90 days or the end of the 120 days, you are not able to make those payments and get caught up.
Yeah. And another thing that I want to say too is, and I want to throw this out there, and I don't think that everybody in the world is doing this, but you know, it's really, really hard when somebody dangles a carrot in front of your face to not want to take it, right? Or candy. I would say candy, not carrot. But you know, when they're dangling it in front of you, hey, you know, we're willing to offer you this deferment or this forbearance. Would you like to accept it? It's really easy to accept that thinking, oh, this would be really nice to not have a mortgage payment for, you know, 3 months, 6 months, right? But if you can truly afford that mortgage payment and you don't need to take it, don't take it. We have clients right now that are coming to us where, yes, they lost one income, but there was enough income with the other person that is still working to easily afford the mortgage. And when we run the numbers, their debt ratios are absolutely fine with one working body. And the problem is that when we get that loan right now, we've been pricing loans in the very low threes, high twos, some of them in the mid twos, if you're looking at 15 years, you know, really, really attractive, beautiful interest rates. And we're getting those phone calls of people that want to take advantage of that. And they want to do that refinance. And we're having to tell them, no, I'm sorry, you do qualify. Yes. But even with your, you know, wife not working or even with your husband not working, you guys qualify, you're fine. But your credit report is showing us that you're in deferment. Your credit report is showing us that you're in forbearance. And we cannot do anything. You've got to get off of that plan. And you have to make those three mortgage payments for, you know, 3 months consecutively. You can't just make one payment of three payments worth one payment. That doesn't work. You've literally got to wait out the 90 days and make three payments on time before you're going to be eligible to be able to do a new loan. So again, you know, just keep that in mind. The other thing too that I am a little bit scared of, and I'll be honest, is there are people that have taken the option of the deferment and been told, call back and we'll do the forbearance, you know, when we get closer to the end of the deferment or at the end. And that forbearance is going to require an application, just like a loan modification. If you think back to 2008, 2009, when everybody was doing modifications on their loans, you had to qualify for that modification. You had to show that there was a drop in your income. You had to show that you could not afford to make that payment with where you were at in the economy at that time. So if your family could have afforded that payment and you chose the deferment, I have a feeling that we're going to see these mortgage companies say, nope, no forbearance and make the payment. Give it up, hand it over. And we're going to find people getting into trouble that had they just figured it out, they wouldn't have been in trouble. So just keep that in mind. Be diligent. A lot of people are about 3-4 months into this whole process at this point. If you don't need to be on it, you don't have to have it, call and get off of it right now. If you are on it, call and make sure that you know that you're on forbearance. If you are in deferment, get that application started if you can immediately to get that forbearance, you know, started. Because we just don't want to see a bunch of people, you know, in a bad situation. That's That's what we're here for. I mean, we're not even talking about loans. We're not talking about call us. We're not talking about refinance. We're not talking about purchase. We are Mortgage Mom Radio. We're trying to educate and bring you guys very important information each week. And it just depends on what's going on with, you know, where we're at with the economy. And and this is new this year. This is something big.
Absolutely.
And Aunt Lori just chimed in, said hello.
Well, hello, Aunt Lori. Thank you so much for watching. Again, I love it that my family gets on. And all you guys out there listening, remember, you guys want to ask us a question, you want to hear the answer live. We are doing this live at 5 on Wednesdays on YouTube, Facebook, and Twitch. So you guys just got to find us. Go to Mortgage Mom Radio on YouTube, subscribe to the channel, turn on your notification buttons. You'll know when we go live. Follow us on Facebook if you prefer that. You're more than welcome to follow us on Facebook. It's Mortgage Mom Radio. Make sure you turn on the notification button. I think that there's one on Facebook or there's a follow button or something. And then Twitch, you know, hey, gamers, I know you guys are out there. I know that you guys play. I know that there's, you know, lots of developers, app developers, video game developers. You guys, hey, you prefer that channel? Watch us there. Everywhere you go, it's Mortgage Mom Radio. We love it. You guys have a question for us, you want to talk to us, you want to give us a call, it's 844-935-3634. That's 844-WE-LEND-FOR-YOU. That is L-E-N-D and the number 4. Hey, you guys like podcast? We take this and we put it on podcast. So everybody's got a thing that they like. They like to watch YouTube. They like to listen to the radio. Some people really dig their podcasts. We are everywhere that podcasts are broadcasted. So Stitch, right? Stitcher? Tune in,
yeah,
Stitcher, thank you. Tune in, Stitcher, Apple iTunes, or whatever their new podcast one is. Apple changed, didn't they? Don't they have now their new podcast app? And so is it still iTunes though?
No, a podcast is its own app.
You're right. All right. So we're on the Apple podcast app. We are in the Google Play Store. I mean, anywhere you guys like to listen to your podcasts, we are there. So just look up Mortgage Mom Radio. We have been doing this for a while. The podcast goes back about a year and a half, maybe 2 years now, actually. I think November of 17. I can't remember anymore. It's all bleeding together, but we've been there for a long time. So what would be kind of fun would be to go back, listen to the very beginning, and listen to how things have evolved and changed you know, over time. I mean, it's amazing how much things change every single year. We just did that episode 2 weeks ago about how did VA and FHA change from 2019 to 2020. There were some huge changes. And I think that we need to do that again. You know,
even remember last week.
I know. It's absolutely nuts. So we want you guys to give us a call. We want you to watch us live. We want you guys to put your questions in the feed. Go to our website, mortgagemomradio.com. Send us a message. Send us your question. We want to hear from you. I answer questions all day long. Maybe next week I'll pull up some of the questions that I've been receiving and read them. And then
we haven't
done it in a long time and tell people how I answered the question. I think that would be great. So get us those emailed questions over. You can do that right through the website. You can do it right through the phone app. So again, if you guys want the phone app, text the word MOM to 36260, and you can send us an email right through there as well. So we want your questions. We want to answer them for you, and we want to get you guys the advice that you need and the education that you need to make sure that you're taking care of you and your family.
I'm sorry if I butcher this, but screen name user Soli W says, "Hi, I'm new to your channel. Thank you for your advice, especially during these crazy times."
Oh, well, thank you so much. We
Thanks
love
for
that.
Joining us.
Yes, thank you for joining us. Thank you for watching. Help spread the word. We're trying to get this YouTube channel to be bigger. It is the goal, so do whatever you can to help us. We appreciate that. And any questions that you have, please reach out. Put them in the feed. Matt's going to read them right out loud to us, and we're going to answer them for you while we're here live. So everybody out there listening, especially Saturday morning listeners on Go Country 105, we love you guys, but we want to make sure that you're getting the answers that you need. So either watch us live or get those questions to us so we can answer them for you. You can call us, you can email us, whatever you need, we're here for you. All right, so I think, what time is it? How are we doing? We're 5:37, so we got about 10 minutes or so left.
Okay.
All right. So we had talked before the show, we were saying, you know, what are we going to talk about today?
Yep.
The forbearance thing was a really big deal. I want to go into self-employed income a little bit because we've had quite a bit of that this week as well. And self-employed income, what I want everybody to understand is when you guys send me your tax returns, that's not enough. Okay. It's not enough.
What?
It's not enough. So self-employed income has changed, and especially with COVID, and that's something, one of the changes we haven't really talked on. They have changed actually the way that we have to view it, the items that we need to receive from you. They need to make sure that your business is still prosperous. They understand that many small businesses have been affected, many large businesses have been affected, and they need to know that just because your 19 tax returns looked great, that your 2020 is still flowing as well. So a couple of things that we run into quite frequently that I want to make sure that you guys are aware of, because self-employed in California is a huge piece of our market. You know, there's a lot of self-employed borrowers in California. Now, mind you, I am licensed in many states. I am in California, Arizona, Washington, Oregon, Nevada, Tennessee, Texas, Illinois, Georgia. And I feel like I might have missed one. I might have missed one. So we're in a lot of states, but I can tell you that California, I see more self-employed borrowers in California than any other state that we're doing loans in.
Yes.
Okay. So a couple of things that have changed. In the beginning of 2020 to today, here's the changes. Number one, we needed 1 year or 2 years tax returns. If you have W-2 income, we needed your W-2s. If you have pay stubs. So a lot of self-employed people will pay themselves through their corporation. So, you know, all the basic stuff, W-2s and things of that nature. If the tax returns and the W-2s were all jiving, 2 year average, 1 year average, depending on whether the decision came back one or 2 years that it wanted, we were good to go. Now we are not. So number one, a lot of people send me tax returns and they're self-employed and they say, I sent you the tax returns, but I need the W-2. Somebody had $235,000 in W-2 income on line three or line four. I need the W-2. I need to know whose income that was. And then I need to know where it came from. So you might have a W-2 job and you might own a self-employed business and you might be running both. I need it all. Everything that has to do with your tax return, I need every piece of it. That's not new. What is new though, is that we need a P&L. Before, we needed a P&L if it was February and taxes weren't due till April and hadn't filed 2019 yet. We would have needed a 2019 P&L just so that we could see that 19 looked pretty similar to what 17 and 18 did, and we were good to go. All right. Now we need a P&L for 2020, year to date, January through the end of whatever the most recent month was that we just finished. Not only that, but we need 2 months of bank statements from your business account, if you are self-employed, to show us that the deposits coming in seem to average what you're telling us on your P&L is happening in 2020. Not only that, if you are on an extension for 2019 and you have not filed yet, because now you have until September, October, November? I don't know.
September,
I think.
15th?
We're not the CPAs. I think it's September 15th. But if you are on extension and you haven't filed yet, we need your P&L for 19. We need 2 months of bank statements from your business, December and November,
December,
to show us that the deposits look like they agree with your P&L. Then we need a P&L for 2020. And we need 2 months of business account statements to show us that 2020 is jiving. So they are definitely getting more restrictive because of COVID and what is happening right now in today's world. There are a couple of other changes as well. I know that we on the K-1s, we're looking at distributions and things of that nature.
Yes. So if your K-1...
Notice how I put that to Heidi.
What you earned on your K-1...
I'm giving her the hard stuff.
...is not what you actually took as a distribution. We cannot use your top-line K-1, right? So let's just say...
Your ordinary income.
Your ordinary income was $30,000, but you only took a distribution of $5,000. We can't use $30,000.
Right, because that means that you left $25,000 in your business.
$25,000 in the business. Generally, you do that because you need it to fund the business. So we're only going to allow you to use the income you actually distributed to yourself. Essentially, it's your cash flow. So we're somewhat going back to the cash flow.
We are.
That came out a few years ago. We've kind of toggled back and forth in that. So really, the income that you can use is the income that you received.
Right.
I think it's the easiest way to put it.
It is. And, you know, for getting off of self-employed now, and again, if you guys have questions, we want you to put it in the feed. We're more than happy to answer them. We may have some self-employed borrowers out there that are scratching their head going, I didn't quite get that.
Yeah.
You guys are listening to us on Saturday morning or on a, you know, podcast down the road, and you want to ask us questions, all you got to do is give us a call. It's 844-935-3634. Get on my calendar. Matt will get you scheduled. We'll have an appointment. We'll talk. We'll go through your income and we'll figure out where you're at. So I don't want anybody to feel like they got disregarded and they couldn't ask any questions. You guys can. If you watch us Wednesdays live at 5 on YouTube, Twitch, or Facebook, you guys can actually ask these questions live and you'd get your answer right away. You'd hear us do it live. I mean, we mess up all the time and that's you guys get to watch that happen. But if you guys want to give us a call at a later date, please feel free to do so. We'll get you an appointment scheduled and we'll talk about the income. So another thing, though, that is a big piece of, you know, COVID and coronavirus and all that, you know, happy. I'm not going to keep going because I'll get bleeped out on radio on Saturday. there's so many things
better
that I would,
this time.
I know there's so many things that I would say if I didn't have to rebroadcast this on FM radio. So anyway, we've got some changes going on right now too, for a lot of people that have been furloughed. And again, we didn't know what was going to happen. We didn't know what they were going to do. We didn't know how guidelines were going to change until it happened, right? Everybody was furloughed. Nobody was back to work yet. Then all of a sudden we kind of reopened. A lot of people got back to work. Some people went back to work with part-time hours. Some people actually continued to work, but they got moved down to 5 hours a day instead of 8 hours a day. Some people got 5 hours a week instead of 40. Others got furloughed completely. Others went on unemployment, and now you're back and you're back at work. So there, you know, what is happening with that gap? What is happening with that time frame that you weren't working? And how are we going to look at your income? So there are a couple of things around that that have changed that are really important for everybody to know. So if you had overtime before and you were furloughed, and you are trying to do an FHA loan, whether that be a purchase or a refinance, there's a very good chance that we are not going to be able to utilize that overtime today. Overtime is taken on an average of the year, regardless of whether you were out of work. So if you didn't work for 3 months or 4 months and there was that gap that you couldn't work the overtime, we're still going to look at the overtime that you've earned year to date. And we're still going to average that throughout the year. And when we see that there's been a decline, which obviously there will be, if that decline is more than 20%, then we cannot use that overtime income to help you qualify. So if you were pre-approved to buy a house and you were planning to use an FHA loan and you were furloughed and in your mind you said, okay, cool, I'm going to put this home hunt on hold, I'm going to pause it, and then I'm going to get back to it once I'm back at work. Now I'm back at work. I've been back for a week and now I'm out looking at houses again. I'm super stoked. Please pick up the phone and call your loan officer. Ask them the question if you are going to have a hard time qualifying still utilizing the overtime income that you made. If your loan officer says, sure, no problem, second guess them and give us a call, please. So, because we don't want you to fall in love with a house and then end up losing the house once you're already in escrow.
So I want to clarify something. If you do not have variable income means your hours vary. They could vary by 1 hour in a week.
Right.
Okay. So you work 80 hours a week. Normally work 80 hours a week. You took a sick day and you only had 7 hours to cover that 8 hour sick day. You now have variable income. If you have variable income and your overtime went down 20.5%, we're most likely not going to be able to use that overtime. However, if you do not have variable income and your overtime went down over 20%, we possibly can still consider that overtime.
Right. So if you are a solid 40 hours every single week on the dot, even mm-hmm. if you're hourly, or you are salaried, then that's not going to be a problem. And again, I am talking about FHA loans right now.
Right.
Every single loan program is going to be different. So I'm specifically really, truly hoping that everybody out there listening, I am reaching out to those that were waiting to do their refinance until they got back to work, or they were waiting to do their purchase until they got back to work and they were utilizing an FHA loan. And I believe that VA has very similar guideline on that as well.
Yes.
So VA and FHA guys, get on the phone, either call us or call your lender that you were working with and make sure that you are still okay? Or how much longer do you need to work at the 40 hours with the OT, and how much OT do you need to put in to get yourself caught back up so that you're below that 20% decline? So that is very, very important. Conventional, totally, totally different. I can see Matt's looking at me.
Yeah. Noelle over on Facebook gives us 4 thumbs up and says, love this woman.
Thank you, Noelle. I love you too. Thank you for watching so much. I actually worked on Noelle's loan today. Talked to her a little bit on the phone. So we're going to get her rolling and send her some emails. But thank you so much for watching. Appreciate that. So conventional, like I just said, does not have those guidelines. But again, these are very important things that we are trying to educate you guys. We're trying to make sure that we are bringing you the most up-to-date, important information every single week as we get it, as we're feeling it. Trust me, it is painful. We don't know. And there's no loan officer that can tell you that they do. This is all brand new territory. This is all uncharted waters. We had no idea that COVID was going to happen. We had no idea that people were going to be, you know, out of work or furloughed or laid off and then brought back. We didn't know any of that was going to happen. And so there was no way to foresee, once everybody was back, how were they going to handle it? And now everybody, you know, many are back. I'm not going to say everybody. Most many are back. And they're out buying homes, and you get that first file and you submit that first file into underwriting. And in my head, and I'm sure Heidi's and every other loan officer out there, we're thinking, okay, well, they had a gap. You know, they were off for 3 months. So I'm going to remove that 3 months from my average that I'm going to take of that overtime income. And we're still pacing. We look great.
Right.
And you get it into underwriting and you're not great. So again, that was very, very focused on FHA and VA buyers and borrowers. Make sure that you guys reach out, give us a call or call your lender and make sure that you're still okay. Or what have you got to do to be okay? Sometimes it's as easy as like 2 pay stubs and work as many hours as you possibly can. And then you're going to be right back at, you know, fine.
Also understand there were quite a few, and we had it with our clients, that instead of going out on furlough, they ended up going out on disability. They ended up going out on medical leave. That also applies. So just make sure you double check, because even if you weren't necessarily furloughed, but maybe you were out on medical and your doctor just said, you know what, for this reason, because of the virus, I'm going to keep you out. That is still the same scenario. If you were out for any reason, it's going to be the same scenario.
Yeah, absolutely. So we have to probably wrap it up, but next week I'd really like to talk about the conventional and how that overtime works. I think that would be really important to get into. If you're doing a conventional loan, refinance or purchase, let me just end it with this. I don't want to leave everybody hanging by a string thinking that they can't do anything.
Right.
Conventional is much more lenient. Yes. Much, much more lenient. We can take those gaps. We can take them out. We can average differently. We can have a little bit more in decline with explanation. So, you know, I don't want anybody to feel like they can't get a loan. And even those FHAs and VAs that we just talked about, I don't want you guys to feel like you can't get a loan either. I just want you to be prepared. Maybe you've got to be back to work for a couple of more weeks before you fall in love with a home and you write an offer, or before you do that application for that refinance.
Absolutely. We just want you to be aware, be prepared, and know what we need to do or you need to do before you make those offers.
Absolutely. So, Matt, you look like you got something for us.
Before you wrap up here, on YouTube, Terry M. asks, would you recommend selling in California following a job loss and very restricted funds?
Oh, yeah. So that is difficult. And Terry, thank you so much for the question. We love that. And thank you for watching on YouTube. You know, I got to tell you, if you've lost your job and you don't know where your income is going to come from, your funds are very restricted. If you have a mortgage and you've got mortgage payments due, obviously you can get a deferment or a forbearance like we talked about earlier in the show. And if you just logged in now, when the show is over, go back and start from the beginning, because we actually talked about deferment and forbearance at the beginning of the show. But you know, that is a really difficult one. And I've got to say, if you've got equity in your home, the last thing you want to do is have the bank take the house if you can't make those payments. And if you're on deferment or forbearance, they're only going to do that for so long until payments are going to have to be made again. And if that job doesn't come back and that income isn't there, then selling that home may be the right option. So, you know, we need to know a little bit more information about you and your circumstances to truly give you a full opinion. But I would say that, you know, make sure that you're guarding yourself and you're taking care of you and the equity in your home. So if you're on forbearance right now and you're hoping that you can get another job and you think that you can probably land one, you know, before the forbearance would be over, and then you can just kind of pick up and keep going and stay in your home, then, you know, you don't need to sell. But if you think that the job that you had is gone and you think it's going to be very difficult to get another one, and, you know, you're not sure that you can really live on your unemployment, you don't think that you can make the payments on that mortgage on unemployment or whatever, you know, funds that you might have coming in, then look at selling, because right now the inventory is very, very low. Market values are high. Rates are low. Buyers are trying to get into homes. Just about every home that is on the market that is priced right has multiple offers on it right now, and it is a bidding war. So you very well may be able to walk away with a good chunk of change in your pocket and kind of get you over that hurdle until you get into the next property. So that is a very difficult one to answer, not knowing your full circumstances. But, you know, lay everything out on the table and understand what your timelines are and your, you know, how long will deferment last or forbearance last, and are you on it and can you get it if you're not? How long do you think it's going to take you to get another job? Can you make the mortgage payment once it is due on the income that you have today? And you're going to end up coming to the right answer based on those, you know, based on your answers to your own questions. So I hope that that helps. I really do. And you're more than welcome to call us. Everybody that is listening, guys, we're here to help. That's why we do this show. It's not just call us about doing a new loan, getting a new application in the system. We truly are trying to educate you guys, give you information, bring advice to you, and make sure that you guys are making the best financial decisions for you and your family. So it's 844-935-3634. That's 844. We lend for you. That's LEND and the number 4. Everywhere that you guys search Mortgage Mom Radio, you can find us. We've got a website, YouTube, Facebook, podcast. We've got just about everything that you guys could need. You want the phone app, text the word MOM to 36260. Get that phone app. You guys can do everything you can do on the website right through the phone app. And we'll be back next week. We hope you guys had, it was a good show. We hope that you learned a lot. Don't forget, we've got that podcast. So if you missed any part of today's show whatsoever, this show is already up on podcast because we did it live Wednesday at 5. So remember, you guys want to ask us those questions. We had some great ones today. Actually, quite a few questions today. Yeah. We love that. We want those questions to keep coming in. So you guys want to be able to ask those live and hear those questions live, you've got to follow us. So go to YouTube, Mortgage Mom Radio, and click on that subscribe button and that notification bell. Watch us on Facebook if that's your preferred method. Make sure you follow the page. It's Mortgage Mom Radio. And I'm telling you, I am going to do a loan for a gamer one of these days. So if you are a gamer and you like Twitch, watch us there. We would love that. So anyway, we hope you guys have a good one. We hope you have a fantastic week, fantastic weekend. And we will be back next Wednesday, live at 5. See y'all later.
Bye.
Debbie Marcoux is licensed by the Department of Business Oversight under the California Residential Mortgage Lending Act, NMLS ID 237926. Also licensed in Arizona 0941504, Georgia 69178, Illinois 031.0058339, Nevada 57237, Oregon, Tennessee 184373, Texas, Washington MLO 237926. Heidi Slagle Points, California DBO 1666881.
She's a mortgage mom. She can get things done. When you're in need and don't know where to go, pick up the phone and call Mom. She's the Mortgage Mom.
This is Debbie Marcoux, the Mortgage Mom. Hey, did you refinance maybe 6 months ago, eight, a year? And we all thought interest rates were so great. They were lower than they had been in quite some time. Well, guess what? They're even lower today. Give me a call. It's 844-935-3634. Let's talk one-on-one and let's see if a new refinance is something that you should consider. Maybe it's not. I'm a straight shooter and I'm going to let you know. It's 844-935-3634. Give me a call and let's see what we can do.
She's a mortgage mom. She can get things done. When you're in need and don't know where to go, Pick up the phone and call mom.
Any partner who is licensed by the Department of Business Oversight under the California Residential Mortgage Lending Act, California NMLS ID 237926, also licensed in Texas and Tennessee, 184373, Arizona 0941504, and Nevada 57237.